and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O my God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love thee, and I beg pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love thee. Welcome to Alive. Thank you once again for joining the program. Now, I'm going to just have a break from you having to listen to me the whole time. And we're going to listen to Dr. Brian Clowes from the Splendid of Truth conference a couple of years ago when Cardinal Burke came to New Zealand. And I think it was 3 years ago. And his topic was the family. And I think it's very, very appropriate today when you look around the family breakdown. Apparently, the main cause of youth suicide, this is from people who have survived a suicide attempt, is either the breakdown of a sexual relationship or family problems, family breakup and that sort of thing. So they are the two main issues. Of course, there's many, many other issues. So the family is under siege. And one of the biggest ways it's under siege is fatherlessness. Now, it's such an epidemic that people don't give it a second thought. When you think about 75% of Māori children are being raised in fatherless homes, and sometimes it's generational, it's a worry. And I think the statistics is probably between 40 and 50% in some other areas, in some towns and cities. We have a problem. We really do have a problem. So let's just listen to the expert, Dr. Brian Clowes, a great speaker, author, husband, father. He knows what he's
can do. Thank you for the welcome this afternoon. It's wonderful to be here in New Zealand, my second trip, my wife Kathy's first trip. She's back there in blue. Can you stand up for a minute, my dear? We've been married for 44 years. She runs a crisis pregnancy center in Front Royal and has probably been responsible for saving over 1,000 babies. So the CPCs in the United States are the reason that the pro-life movement exists, really. They save more babies than every other pro-life activity combined. So if you'd like to learn more, please talk to the lovely lady in blue, my wife. Thank you. I want to talk today about family under siege and why we should be concerned about this. Now, this is one of 22 of the sessions in the pro-life missionary training program on the DVD that FLI is selling back there for $20. It's a college course, a full three-credit college course on pro-life activism, the dignity of the human person, the status of the human person, the battle between the culture of life and the culture of death, the spiritual battle, all of the topics, homosexuality, abortion, birth control, population control, and so on. And finally, the last several sessions have to do with organizing, planning, and learning how to debate. This is session 7, or an abbreviated version of session 7. There are 88 lessons, so you can do one 30-minute lesson every night, maybe two or three nights every week. And within 6 months, you'll have completed a complete college course in pro-life activism. You know everything pretty much that you need to know. So what I wanted to cover today are just 4 points. Who is attacking the family? How are they doing this? Why are they attacking the family? And how to defend the family? The most important part, how we can make ourselves invulnerable and unassailable by the culture of death. This is one of the greatest crimes that has happened in the history of the world, the assault on the family, so we should treat it like a crime. And investigators want to know when the crime happened, where did it happen, what was the crime itself, who perpetrated it, how was it done, and what are the motivations, why? We already know the answers to the first three. When is now and over the past 50 years, where is everywhere, and what is going on today. So today we'll talk a little bit about who's doing this, how they're doing it, and why they're doing it, most importantly of all. We have to go back to Revelation and the origin of the culture of death. And in the Gospel of John, the 8th chapter, 42nd, 43rd, 44th verses, we hear a lot about we're all children of God, but this is not entirely true. Our Lord himself said that if God were your father, you would love me, but you are of your father, the devil. Your will is to do your father's desires. He's a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth because there is no truth in him by his very nature. When he lies, he speaks according to his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So we see the two primary weapons of the culture of death, murder and lies. All of the culture of death movements, from transgenderism to abortion, population control, and all the rest, are wrapped up in murder and lies. Not only murder of the physical body, but the spiritual person as well, murder of the truth, murder of good legislation, murder of good laws. They just completely destroy everything. What amuses us in the world today? There are many things. Drugs, alcohol, the New Age nonsense, unlimited sex, travel and life experience, money, possessions, power, influence, fame, and all the rest. But these things can only amuse us for a short time. What are the only two things that can bring us true contentment and peace? Where we have the kind of life where we can undergo trials with a cheerful demeanor. There are only two things, faith and family. All of those other things can amuse us, but only these two things can truly make us content. And that's why the people in the culture of death are so unhappy, so often. They don't have a family and they don't have any faith. So they are just trying to cram all of these oddball activities into the God-shaped hole that all of us have in our own hearts. Only God will satisfy us in his plan. Tens of millions of school children from the 30s to the 60s in the United States learned their faith from the Baltimore Catechism. The third question, why did God make us? God made us to know him, to serve him, and to be eternally happy with him in the next life. So if we study God, if we study theology, read the Gospels and holy books, we will come to know the Lord. If we know him, we will love him. If we love him, we will want to serve him. So it comes in a logical order. But what if the devil himself had a catechism? What's the opposite of the third question, the Baltimore Catechism? The other side of the equation, what does the devil want for us? To serve him through sin and unbelief, be unhappy in this life, and to be eternally unhappy with him in the next life. These 60 or 70 or 80 or 90 years we have here on this earth are a tiny, tiny eye blink of eternity. And I told the folks in Papua New Guinea, we were having talks near the beach, and I said, if you want to know how long eternity is, you just walk over to that beach and you reach over and you pick up a single grain of sand and you study and admire this grain of sand for the next 1 million years. And you watch all the changes happening around you. Then you put that one down and you pick up the next grain of sand and you study that one for 1 million years. You do this to every grain of sand on earth, every beach, under every ocean, pond, every river in the world, every desert. And if you do that, study every grain of sand for 1 million years, eternity will have just begun. It is supremely important. Everything we do here on earth will be judged. And the devil wants us to make us unhappy in this world and also the next. So how do we live our lives according to the law of our Lord? Through the natural law. The Catechism says, the natural law gives us the first and essential precepts which govern the moral life and also the physical life. The desire for God and submission to him, the source and judge of all that is good, is well upon the sense that the other is one's equal, our human dignity. Its principal precepts are expressed in the Decalogue. The Lord God who made science reveals it to us as well. He reveals us to us the natural law in all of nature. So if you pay attention to and heed the natural law, learn it and live by it, you'll be a better person. This is a simple scientific fact. What I love about the Catholic faith is all of its teachings on sexual morality are always supported by science. Now, there's a big study that's been going on in the United States for nearly 50 years now. It's called the National Survey of Family Growth. Every year, trained interviewers go out and interview thousands and thousands of different families, asking them over 200 questions. Now, these are not just our kind of family, the natural family, man and woman, committed to each other for life and open to the possibility of children, but also homosexual so-called families, polygamous families, people just living together, all kinds of families, all kinds of groupings out there. And they have found some interesting facts. The three most reliable scientific indicators for happiness are being religious, being married, and coming from an intact family with a father and a mother. This is what the church teaches. And if you find somebody with these three attributes, they have an 85 to 90% chance of being happy or very happy. If they don't have any of these, maybe a 10% chance at most. So this is a good example of science supporting the church's teaching. Being religious, being married, coming from an intact family with a father and a mother. If you have these three attributes, you're more likely to be physically better off. You'll smoke and get drunk much less, less likely to use drugs, have many fewer sexual partners, less probability of first sexual experience, you'll cohabit much less often, you'll be homosexual much less often, have fewer abortions, and encourage fewer abortions. Mentally, you'll be better off, do better on college admission tests. You'll do better in school, high school and college. You'll volunteer more to help others. You'll get into fights much less often. You'll get in less trouble with the school and the police, run away from home less often, and you'll enjoy greater job satisfaction. And mentally and emotionally, you'll be happier as children. You'll get along with others better and be friendlier. You'll have more children and have better relationships with them. You will see the good in other people more often. You'll be happier being married, much less likely to get divorced and have affairs, have fewer unwanted pregnancies, and even have a better sex life. This is what the National Survey of Family Growth has found in the United States. You will be a better person if you're married, if you believe in God, and come from an intact family defined as a mother and a father married to each other. Now the how. How is a family being attacked today? This is an extremely important slide here, probably the most important out of the more than 2,000 in the entire pro-life missionary training program. How does the world work? And this is true of every country in the world. I don't care what country you're talking about, Tuvalu, you could be talking about the United States, Chile, any other country. There are 10 teachers of morality in this world today. The international focused sources of influence, a lot of power, a lot of money in these organizations, the United Nations and its 22 huge organizations, and the international non-governmental organizations. Then within each country, you have the focused sources of influence on the national level, the executive branch, the prime minister, the king or queen, the president, the national court system, provincial court systems, the legislatures, the professional associations, especially medical and legal, the media and the school leadership. And finally, the other 99%, the diffuse sources of influence, the church and the family. Now, what the culture of death has done, quite simply, is it has taken over the foundations in the United States. The Ford Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Packard Foundation, all the rest of them would fund the arts or the schools or infrastructure. But gradually, over a period of about 40 years, liberals began to come in, leftists would come in and take over. And once they took over, they did not allow any more dissenting voices. So these enormous foundations, with their several trillion dollars of resources, started funneling money into the international NGOs and the media. We've noticed in our travel, Father Bouquet and I, the other HLI people, is that many times you will have a pro-life country with a very anti-life media. So a lot of money goes into the media where those people come in, these very liberal, very leftist people, and then they don't allow anybody else in who has a dissenting opinion. We see this in all of the so-called developed countries of the world. And of course, a huge amount of money goes to the international NGOs, the pure population control and pro-abortion ones like Marie Stopes International, International Planned Parenthood Federation and others, and the big NGOs who dabble with or do get themselves involved in population control. Everything from CARE and HOPE to Doctors Without Borders and more than 1,000 others. They don't have as their primary objective population control and the pushing of abortion and gay rights. It is kind of a sideline for them, but it still accounts for billions of dollars spent every single year. Now, the culture of death always works from the top down, very efficient. They have already taken over the international focus sources of influence. They come into a country, and the UN and the NGOs start to pressure the national focused sources of influence. As I described before, the court system, the executive branch, and so on. And they pour billions of dollars into these organizations to take them over. And once they've taken over number 1 through 8, the focused sources of influence, then they start to exert pressure on the church and the family. It's not a coincidence that church and the family are the only two things that can bring us contentment, happiness, and fulfillment. The culture of death sees these as an obstacle, and so they start pushing down on the church and the family. This is why we hear so much nonsense about there must be strict separation of church and state, which of course only goes one way. The state can tell the church what to do, but the church can't tell the state what to do. With liberals and leftists, it's always one way. In the family, there are many different types of family. Okay, we can talk about several men living together. In fact, one feminist described a family as any group of people assembled for any purpose, forever, for any length of time. So we here are a family right now until somebody goes and gets some coffee, just the same as a man and a woman in an exclusive and fruitful marriage. This is the kind of theory we're dealing with. But what we have to do is the opposite. We have to strengthen and support the family and the church until they become so powerful that they are invulnerable to the opposition of the culture of death. This is our job, to strengthen and support good priests, religious sisters, and bishops, and to strengthen our families and other families as well. The most important principle is that everything the culture of death offers us attacks one of the links of the family. Nothing they do is for any other purpose whatsoever. It's all designed to break down the family, or conservative parents passing on their values to their children. So let's see what the typical, actual, true traditional family looks like. It's a man and a woman who are unitive, they are together for life, and they are procreative. The nature of marriage is unitive and procreative. They are open to life. So you see these links of obligation, responsibility, and love between the husband and the wife. Then you have children who come into the equation most of the time, and the links continue with the parents and the children, the grandparents, sides, and finally the most important member of the family is God. Now what the culture of death does is it's like a strong acid starting to break away, starting to eat away at these links here. The procreative aspect between the husband and the wife, the procreative aspect of marriage, is broken by contraception, sterilization, homosexuality, and abortion. The unitive aspect is broken down by divorce, adultery, pornography, and prostitution. The links between the parents and the children are broken by explicit sex education, secret counseling in the schools, and so-called values clarification. And the links between the parents and the grandparents, euthanasia, what they call physician-assisted suicide, or death with dignity. And of course, God has to be pushed out of the equation, so the link between everybody in the family and God himself are broken. Atheism, agnosticism, New Age nonsense, and indifferentism, the idea that there are many ways to get through heaven, not just through our Lord Jesus Christ, but many ways to get to heaven. Just be a good person. Just be a nice person. Well, I can guarantee you, if you read the Gospels, you'll find that hell is full of nice and good people. That's not what our Lord said. The result is a bunch of individuals who think that they're thinking for themselves. They think they're independent. Everybody believes that they can do anything they want. So they're a big bundle of rights. We notice half the things a culture of death say, they have the right to do this, we have the right to do that. And the other half of the time, their sentences begin, you don't have the right to do this, like stand outside a reproductive care center, or you don't have the right to oppose gay marriage without losing your job. Everybody believes falsely that they have choices. As Nietzsche said, there are none more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe they're free. But this is when the people are most easily controlled. When they're all broken down into individuals, they are easily influenced by the government and by media. This especially with the young people today. Systematic behavioral modification under the guise of sex education. You don't need 8 to 10 years for sex ed. You might be able to do it in one day, but sex education is not about sex at all. It's about slowly and carefully changing the thinking of the children so that they think only for themselves without consulting the church or their families. And this is how they wander into all kinds of problems. How Satan perverts love. We read in Revelation 12, 7 through 9, that St. Michael the Archangel threw Lucifer, the light bearer, out of heaven after he rebelled against God. He attacked God directly, God who is love. He can't do that anymore. So what he does is he attacks the many gods, the many loves that God has given us. The love for God is warped into blasphemy, sacrilege, atheism, and communism. The love of self, overindulgence in addictions to things like drugs, alcohol, tobacco, power, sex, and pornography. Love of neighbor is warped by Satan into racism, theft, embezzlement, cheating, slander, and lies. You see, all of these loves that God gave us, Satan is trying to take away from us. If we could be like little children and maintain all of these natural loves, the world would virtually be a paradise. Love of life is warped into murder, genocide, abortion, sterilization, suicide, contraception, and natural sexual love is warped into homosexuality, pedophilia, pornography, adultery, fornication, and so on. That's how the devil works. He can't create like God can by making something out of nothing, but he can sure take what God has made and make a hell of a mess out of it. There are several types of attacks on the family commonly today. Anti-family propaganda, encouraging consumerism is too expensive to have a child, dilute the meaning of family, daycare, and even stranger ideas and slayer the traditional nuclear family, as we call it, to be dead. The first one, anti-family propaganda, has been around for a long, long time, but it really came into flower with Friedrich Engels.
Well, I let the program go on long because what Brian was saying was so wonderful. So tune in next week to hear the end of that talk.